This is the Leadership 360 podcast, where each month we have an inspiring conversation with a fellow leader aimed at enhancing your skills and faith in all areas of your life. While our podcast is designed for Seventh-day Adventist Church leaders in the Texas Conference, we invite leaders from all over to join us in this journey. Welcome to Leadership 360. All right. Welcome to another episode of Leadership 360. I'm excited to have another friend, Buster Swoops,
a longtime
colleague of mine here in the Texas Conference. I'm going to get your title right.
Yes.
I hope you get paid by the size of your title. I wish. Buster is currently the Regional Director of Clinical Mission Integration for Advent Health Hughley.
Perfect. You got it.
I nailed it. All right.
Still have to read it, but you got it.
All right. So before that, Buster was at the university. We'll talk a little bit about your story, but I know he was a colleague here in the Texas Conference as a pastor in Crowley.
Yes, sir.
So Buster, talk to me and our listeners about your journey to Advent Health, but also the stop off that you had at Southwestern Adventist University.
Yeah.
How did you get here?
So I'm a different story. I've known I want to be a pastor or pastoral ministry since I was 5 years old. I used to play baptism with G.I. Joes and my sister's Barbies. It's a weird story, but okay. Hey, it happened. I preached to my dogs. This is what I knew I wanted to do. And I never let go of that, but I actually felt called when I was about 11 years old. I was sitting in an evangelistic series by Pastor J.R. Haney, and I said, man, this is awesome. I saw him up there. I actually preached my first sermon when I was 9 at prayer meeting, right? So I loved it. And then I actually went to Southwestern Adventist University. Got my degree there, 2006. I started pastoring in San Antonio, Texas. It was a small company in San Antonio, and it started off with 18 people. And that first year, I did everything I learned and went to about 12. And seriously, I really learned how to rely on God. And within 3 years of that, the church grew to over about 120 in attendance. It was great. And then I went to seminary. I froze, and then I went to Houston after I was unfrozen, pastored there for a couple of years, and then I went to Crowley, Texas. I was there for about 4 years. So total was in pastoral ministry for 12 years. And then I took a call to Southwestern Adventist University as a professor of applied theology, and I was there for 4.5 years, and no one told me that teachers grade so much. So my kids are 10 and 8 now, and I just realized I was missing some of the best parts with them. And so this opportunity came up. I applied, and my work-life balance has been better. Sure. I still miss a lot of aspects of the classroom, but I still get to be in ministry while growing. And so that's how I ended up at Advent Health Hughley.
And part of the reason I chose you for this conversation is because I know the struggle that you had when you were at Southwestern.
Yes.
It is the way that you came in, I mean, it was almost a huge learning curve, I'm sure.
Extremely.
Because I think you came in, what, a month before school started?
I had exactly 5 weeks.
5 weeks.
Yes.
And so that's a huge, and then just the responsibilities of teaching classes, committee, all the stuff that goes with being a part of academia.
A lot of things I had to learn on the fly.
Yeah. Wait a minute, they didn't tell,
you have to sit on these committees.
Yeah.
It's not optional.
And so this idea of self-care.
Yes.
As a leader, it's so easy for us as leaders to not take care of ourselves. And I thought you'd be the perfect person who's lived it, but also has taught to our pastors coming up through undergrad,
yes,
how they can take care of themselves. So before we jump any further, I want to make sure our listeners and our leaders out there understand what we're talking about when we say self-care. What is self-care?
You know, when you sent the question and we talked about it, self-care can go in so many different directions. We can go as far as boundaries, but we can also go towards how do you relax? How do you relax yourself? How do you get past your anxiety? How do you get past or deal with or process whatever it is that you're going through?
Sure.
And I think it encompasses it all. There's so many things that happen in our lives that go on, and we as individuals, my self-care definition might be different from yours, but there will be some crossover. And I think it's important to teach one another and share with one another what are those things that we do for ourselves that we can now share with others.
So why is that important for a leader?
You know, leaders oftentimes, and I'm learning this more and more, they will shoulder so much, and they'll take on more than what they're supposed to. And as a result of that, there is just a breaking point that we all come across. And some people are aware of that point and others are not. Some of us find out the very hard way. Others find out the easy way because we have mentors in our lives that share with us. And as a leader, if you put on too much, if you take on too much without taking care of yourself, well, then you're not going to have very much to give.
So let me ask this. Then as a leader, doesn't it feel selfish though? You know, I'm called to lead other people. I'm here to take care of other people. Isn't it a little selfish for me to take care of myself when I'm called to take care of other people?
You know, I love that question because if we look at the life of the Savior, how many times, and I read an article that posed this question, how much of an extrovert or introvert was Christ? And someone said, he made the case that he was 50-50, right? So he was perfectly extroverted, perfectly introverted, which is there was this time where he went away from the disciples. And some people say, well, it was connect with his father, but I also think it was for self-care.
Sure.
It was to deal with the rigor more of life, everything that was compounding upon him. As a result of that, he came back charged in order to do the ministry that he was called to do.
So what I hear you saying that as a leader, the way to be an effective leader is to prioritize self-care.
Yes. You know, it's the old adage of when you're in the airplane and they're saying, hey, if something goes wrong, put in your own oxygen mask first and then put on your neighbor's. You have to take care of yourself in order for there to be capacity to help take care of others.
So what does that look like, though? How does a leader with all the responsibilities, whether it's a pastor in full-time pastoral ministry or an elder in a local church that has a job and leadership, how can they prioritize self-care when you've got all of these demands coming at you 1,000 miles an hour.
Let's break down the words self and care.
Okay.
In order to take care of self, you have to know self.
Oh, okay.
And so a lot of people really do not know themselves. And as a result of that, they're like, oh, well, there's this picture of what I'm supposed to be and I'll pretend to be that. Well, that's so dangerous. Know yourself. I have plenty of friends in pastoral ministry that after they're done preaching, they're like, I need 2 hours towards myself to just calm down, to be. And others, they're like, oh, after I'm done preaching, I need to talk with 40 people, right? Know yourself. Sure. And accept it. And will there be times where you have to go against that? Yes, you do need to go and shake some hands, but if you need to get away for a while and go to your office and pray and calm down and then come back out, then do it. Know yourself, and then there's the other part, which is care. How is it? What is it that you can do to best care for yourself? What does that look like? Chart it down, write it down, think about it, reflect on it, so that you can actually pair those two together.
So I want to dig a little bit deeper. I'm a leader. How do I learn about myself?
Ooh.
I mean, self-care, I love that. Let's talk about how do I learn about myself?
You know, there's this term in chaplaincy now that I'm learning, which is action, reflection, action.
Ooh.
So we have action. We're all doing things every single day, but a lot of us are disregarding the reflection of sitting down at the end of the day and thinking about, man, how's my life going? Was today draining or was today energizing? If it was energizing, what energized me today? Oh, man, it was actually after board meeting. I love board meetings, right? I've never heard anyone say that.
Who are you talking to?
But some people, maybe you do, right? But that reflection will actually then begat some more action. But a lot of us just go, go, go. We just have action, 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 action. In order to get to know yourself, in order to find out, you need to reflect and say, man, how's my life going? What's going on in my life? Am I stressed out? Am I depressed? What's going on?
So then you have to create that space because,
yes,
again, life, you know, as parents, as fathers, as, you know, leaders, life is going 1,000 miles an hour. There's always stuff coming at us. So what I hear you saying is we got to prioritize and literally carve out time to reflect.
Absolutely. If we're not doing that, if we're not carving out time to at least just think, well, then we're in trouble. We will be drowned out with the many noises of things to do. And we don't want to just do things. We want to be intentional about living our lives.
So talk a little bit more about the care. Okay, I know myself. I know that, you know, these kind of activities, I'm an introvert. I need my downtime.
Yes.
You know, extroverts, you know, they love people.
Yeah, I need to be with
enough people.
Yeah.
But what about the care part? How do I figure out, okay, what is it that takes care of me, because there's a lot of stuff I can mindlessly sit in front of, you know, and binge Netflix or this. What are some of those things that we can do to take care of ourselves, and how do we discover that?
You know, once again, it's reflecting on it, but if we look at ourselves as a whole person, we're not just spiritual people. We're not just emotional people. We're not just physical. We are all those things. It encompasses it all. And so really looking at our lives and saying, spiritually, am I drained or am I charged? Emotionally, physically, I know for myself, one of the things that calms me is working out. I like to lift heavy things, right?
We can tell.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it. but I know some other people, they absolutely hate it. Right. I create space for me to do that. I also create space in the evening and early in the morning after my kids go to bed, before they wake up, in order to have some of that alone time to think and reflect. I also love being with people. After leaving the classroom, there's a moment where, yeah, I'm going to the office, but I miss people and I'm driving a lot, going to different outpatient clinics. And I realized, man, I need to increase my interaction with people because I was missing that. And so I did. So I started making a lot of phone calls towards a lot of my former students, checking in on them. And a lot of my joy was restored because, I mean, I need to connect with more people as an extrovert.
So it's prioritizing is what I'm hearing.
Yes.
And making and that
figuring
time
it out.
For it.
Figuring it out. Who I was yesterday might not be the same as who I am today, right? And I mean that by there's some incremental changes.
Sure.
And even being aware of those, because those incremental changes become drastic over the years. And some people are doing the same things they've been doing for the last 20 years, and they've changed. They haven't realized it.
So looking at a leader, how do you keep that balance? Again, you got to prioritize it.
Yes, you do.
But you also have all these other responsibilities. How do we make sure that it stays in balance?
You know, part of that too is, I know we're talking about self and care, but you also need others in there.
Okay.
Because we also lie to ourselves. I have a lot of blind spots, and praise the Lord for an excellent wife, for great children, but also friends and ministry colleagues that are able to look into my life and say, man, Buster, have you ever realized this or recognized this? And sometimes I have to be intentional and say, hey, how have I been as far as being present in the family? My wife will tell me, yeah, you've been on your phone a lot. Oh, I have. And I realize, and I know you mentioned earlier binging on Netflix, mm-hmm. or you mentioned there's other things that we can do that are oftentimes used as distractions. They're not really helping us. They're not hurting us, but they're distracting us from actually putting in some real work of growth. And sometimes we just need that, once again, reflection time. And we need to check in with others to see, where am I? How am I? And stop lying to ourselves.
So just to kind of put a bow on this section, because there's some other things I know I want to bounce off of you. So what I hear you saying is, know yourself.
Yes.
Understand. And I think what I hear also is, appreciate yourself.
Yes.
That you're not going to be like someone else.
Care for yourself. Yeah. Okay. I have to pause here for a moment. This is something that has just been phenomenal for me. I am my worst critic, and I am so hard on myself. I am perfectionistic just at my base, but I'm learning, and it was actually a podcast I listened to. He said, how many of us would listen to our best friend and they say, oh man, I tried to do this and I failed at it. And we say, oh, what's wrong with you? Yeah. You're horrible. You're awful. No, we'd never do that. And so he said, why not be a friend to ourselves
right.
as well?
That's great.
And a friend is someone who's truthful, who's honest, but also caring. And so we can be caring to ourselves.
What one of the things we tell our teenage kids is, don't tell yourself what you wouldn't tell other people.
That's very good.
You know, that idea of, you'd never tell them that, oh man, you're lousy, you're the worst person ever.
Yes.
But we many times tell ourselves that.
Our internal chatter can make or break us.
So we've got to know ourselves. We need to prioritize that self-care, figuring out what re-energizes us, what relaxes us.
Yes.
But we have to prioritize that.
Yeah, we do.
And in life, that's so hard to do when you've got, as leaders, we've got so many responsibilities coming onto us. What are some ways that leaders can say, okay, I'm going to prioritize this? Because
yes,
the urgent always overpowers the important.
It does.
So what are some ways that a leader can say, okay, I'm going to prioritize taking care of myself and be unapologetic for it?
my day is not your day, and our listener, your all of our days are different. But what we can do, and I urge you to do this, if not doing it for 2 weeks, do it for at least 1 week. If you're not going to do it for 1 week, like I wouldn't do it for a week. So be honest, do it for 3 days. Just take a time chart. Say, this is what I spent my day doing. Oh, I spent 40 minutes on my phone when I first woke up looking at nothingness, right? I was going through reels on Instagram, whatever it might be. Or I spent 40 minutes intentional and devotional. And then I was at work. And at work, this is how I spent my time. Like, be as detailed as possible. And then look at that and say, man, is this a life that I am joyous to live, that I'm proud to live? Or what areas am I missing out on? Am I taking care of myself in this? If I was watching a movie and I saw someone living this life, what would I tell them?
Right.
And then you can actually shift up some things and change some things up and saying, you know what? I can actually put aside the phone for this time and actually use that time for actual self-care. Not distraction time, but actual self-care or actual reflection time or actually time spent with family, whatever it might be. So that can be a great start of that urgency balance with actual life.
I love that. I love that. Because again, it goes back to the reflection. I love that you hit on that idea of reflection. We don't like to reflect.
We don't. And reflection can be hard.
It can be because you see yourself as you are. And that is an objective way, that time chart, I love that, is an objective way for us to say, okay, I say I don't have time for devotions or for family or exercise. Mm-hmm. That's one for me. It's like, oh man,
I don't have time.
I'm not getting up for the gym, you know. But then when you look at it, it's like, no, I really do have time. If only I shift these things and prioritize that.
So yesterday, I have a workout partner. We go about 3 days a week. And he goes at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Oh my goodness.
And I'm like, I can't. And he's like, why not? It's like, I go to bed too late. He's like, why don't you go to bed earlier? Oh yeah, I could do that. And so I find myself getting up, going to bed earlier and waking up because I work out a lot harder with a partner, right? And as a result of that, I have more time. I'm actually able to sit down for breakfast with the kids before they head off to school. And so it's about making that time, but also, once again, that reflecting and about also involving others in the process.
I like that. One of the other things that leaders face is criticism and high expectations.
Oh, yes.
How do you navigate that? How can a leader process through the criticism, the expectations that others have put on you? Many times you don't even know the expectations they're putting onto you until you disappoint them and don't fulfill them. How do you deal with those two things, high expectations and criticism?
You know, I've found, and Tom, I know that you probably found this as well, a lot of times criticism comes from a place of not necessarily they're disgusted with you or they're angry with you, but a lot of times it's actually internal.
Right.
And so when we go and we confront, and I shouldn't even say confront, when we go and speak as brothers and sisters with those who have criticism towards us or feedback, I like to call it feedback. Sometimes it's meant because either they really care about us or they're really hard on themselves, and therefore the lashing out on themselves is pouring out into you. So listen to it. Be careful of not absorbing it.
Sure.
Saying what about this is true? I one of the things I love, I recently read a book by Dr. Chris Thurman, The Lies We Believe. And in this, he said, one of the things that God values above all things is truth. And so if the criticism or the feedback is true, listen to it and say, man, my breath really does stink. What can I do about that, right? Or man, my sermon, my preaching really is going really long. Or as I'm listening to the 99 people, they're saying it's perfectly fine. And this one person saying it's going really long. And you find out their dad was a pastor and they have this issue, right? Whatever it might be.
Sure.
So seek truth. Talk with people. Don't beat yourself up over it and find out if you can actually grow from it.
So it's not... it's taking the kernel of truth in it. But I like what you said, as you talk to people.
Yes.
Many times we'll
communicate.
And for me, it's true. I'll take criticism, I'll internalize it, and then just not talk about it and not push back. Hey, tell me about why you think this or what. And I think that conversation is so important to have. It's hard.
It is hard.
Because when you have someone that's kind of going off on you, especially if they're doing it in an emotional way.
Yeah.
All of a sudden it's like, for me at least, because I tend to be a little conflict averse, I want to pull back and disengage. But in that engagement, it's like, okay, talk to me why that is. And I love what you said. You either find out the truth in it.
Yes.
And or, what did you say? And the issues that they might be dealing with. And as a leader, then it gives you an spillover. Opportunity to minister to that.
Yes. And I actually learned this in teaching a class, biblical conflict resolution. And in there, I realized, man, I do a lot of ducking and dodging from really tough conversations. And there's some excellent materials out there. But basically what it boils down to is face it, deal with it, have tough conversations because you care for people and you care about people. And when you get into that one-on-one situation and they know that they're not going to be able to duck or dodge and you're saying, no, I really want to hear your feedback because I value you as a person, they actually start valuing you. What was that word?
Sure,
valuing you.
So, and what's interesting too is expectations are the same way.
Yes.
They may not understand.
No.
That they are putting these expectations on you and they don't know it. They've not articulated to you, this is the expectation we have as a leader. They just assume it.
I'm going to get extremely real here.
Okay,
for a second.
Please.
In our denomination, we teach towards perfection. As a result of that, none of us can attain it. I mean, Christ, he is the only one. And yet the way we do it is we look at each other and we oftentimes break each other down saying, well, at least I'm doing this better than Tom.
That's right.
Right? Yeah, Tom looks at me and is like, well, at least I'm doing this a lot better than Buster. And right. we break ourselves down and that's how we look at ourselves for value. And that's not value at all. The true value that comes is from who we are and whose we are in our relationship with Christ and our relationships with one another. And as we start valuing that, we actually add value to people's lives and showing them that they can stop beating themselves up now and start looking towards a Savior and start looking towards actually helping others rather than tearing each other down.
But we're so good at that, though.
We are. We're very good at it.
And yet, can you imagine, and you've painted a picture for me, can you imagine a local church where that was the MO? We're all yes. about lifting each other up. Lifting up, even in the midst of the craziness that happens in families and in churches, my goal is to lift you up. Your goal is to lift me
yes.
up. What a community of faith that would be.
Well, you know, I can even tell you there's just individuals that had a very harsh blow and just spending time with them in visitation or just conversations, seeing that blow lessen as I was soft to them. They start being softer to themselves and they lessen the blow towards others. And then just sometimes those personalities, those gatekeepers of the church, when they're softer, when they care more, it can change the entire atmosphere of a church. So imagine if everyone worked on that and did that. It absolutely would be heaven here on earth.
That's a church. I was gonna say that's a church we could pastor, right?
That's what church is supposed
exactly.
to be.
Exactly. I want to talk about something else that I'm sure you've seen at the various places where you've served. Mental health has become a huge thing
oh, yes.
within society,
mm-hmm.
but also because society is church, because mm-hmm. we have people from all walks of life coming to our churches every Sabbath, part of our community. And mental health has become something that I'm very happy to report that we're talking about it more.
Yes.
But how can we as leaders maintain good personal mental health, but then also how do we facilitate that in the people that we see and minister to around us? So how do we do it for ourselves first, mm-hmm. and then how do we facilitate that in the people that are around us?
You know, I believe that to a spectrum, we've all dealt with different aspects of mental health. And some spectrums are larger, like the margins are larger for others than some. I've known close personal friends of mine that had deep depression, mm-hmm. Clinical depression. And as a result, I've seen churches that have surrounded those ministers and have supported them and allowed them 5 to 6 weeks to recover and then come back and have seasons of this. And I've seen other places where people neglect it and they negate it. And you can have some moral falls as a result of that. You can have some, I mean, there's so many things that can happen. So I think the biggest term here is honesty, and it is also integrity. It's coming out to the open saying, man, I am actually struggling right now with anxiety. I am struggling right now with depression, and not being afraid of those titles, but also not self-labeling either.
Sure.
Go visit the counselor. go. It's on a lot of our insurances. Go check it out.
Well, and we have historically within Christianity as a whole, but Adventism specifically, since that's our context, we've somewhat stigmatized mental health and counselors. I'll be totally honest. I didn't go to counselor until, you know, 6, 7, 8 years ago because I was under the conviction.
Yeah.
I'm not going to a counselor because I'm not crazy.
Yes.
And if I go to a counselor, that means I don't have enough faith.
Yeah. I'm saying yes because I had the same experience where the first time I went was, man, it was about 7 or 8 years ago. And I was like, you know what, let me go just check, sure. Have a check-in. And then there came a moment in my life where I really needed it. And I went in and he was like, yeah, you're going through mild depression. I'm like, no, not me. I was like, I don't get depressed. I'm optimistic. I'm joyous. He's like, you know what? Looks different for others. He's like, binging on Netflix is a sign of you're trying to distract because you're dealing with this mild depression.
Sure.
And then giving me some tools to be able to cope with that. And it was phenomenal. It was great. I went to him 3 times and he's like, you're good. Yeah, I'm good. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it doesn't have to be this stigmatized direction or thing. And it doesn't have to be something like, oh, I'm in this for the rest of my life. There can be check-ins. Every one of us are different, but don't be afraid of it.
One of the things that really kind of hit me was when a friend articulated to me, well, you go to the doctor once a year.
Yes.
To talk about your physical health, you know, and if you have high blood pressure or cholesterol or whatever, you can get on medication. And there's no stigma with that.
No, there isn't.
Why would you not do that with your mental, with your brain, to just check in to say, hey, we are good. We are good. You said this and you're spot on. We are good rationalizing and lying to ourselves to have someone outside.
Yes.
Say, yeah, I'm seeing some patterns here that aren't good. I'm seeing some clinical issues that maybe you're not even aware of because like you said,
yeah,
I'm not depressed. I'm happy go lucky and all that kind of stuff. And to have someone to say, no.
Actually, you're dealing with some things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So as a leader, then it's a matter of, again, we'll go back to self-awareness. Look, I need help.
Yeah. And I think as leaders, it's important for us to talk in the open about it. I once heard someone share their testimony at church about how they were dealing with depression. And someone stood up at the end of church and said, you just weren't praying enough.
Yeah.
And I had to step in the gap like, hey, before we leave, right? This was at prayer meeting. I said, hey, this is a statement I heard, and this is absolutely not true. You can pray oftentimes as much as you want, but sometimes there's clinical things. There's sometimes chemical imbalances. The reasons might be a plethora of reasons, but don't put everyone inside of a box and say you're not doing this enough.
So then as a leader, once we become self-aware and once we get comfortable with this idea of mental health, then how do we then facilitate that in the local church, especially in the places and spaces where there is still that stigma of, well, if this person has depression, it's because they don't have enough faith or whatever. Mm-hmm. How do we as leaders facilitate mental health in our sphere of influences in a place where it may not be?
Tom, you just did it. Appropriate self-disclosure speaks volumes. For me to say, oh, it's okay to go to a counselor, I never have.
Right.
Because I'm good, but you should go. Check it out yourself and talk about your experience. Share with others there. Allow people to share their testimonies of where they've been and what they've gone through, whether they're in the midst of the storm or out of the storm, because I know we love the stories where someone's out of the storm, but I have friends of mine that have clinical depression. And so, like I said, they go through seasons of it. And I allow them to share their testimonies as well because all of our lives are different and we support each other.
And part of it's the courage to be honest.
Yes.
And that, I mean, in and of itself, that is a huge leap for a lot of us as leaders.
It is.
Because we don't want to have that vulnerability. We don't want to have that transparency because of fear of what could happen based upon our past history of what we've seen in the past. And so as a leader, I love what you said. We've got to be willing to be vulnerable.
We do. And listen, I want the audience to recognize, I'm not telling you to get up there Sabbath morning or and disclose everything. But
thank you for that.
There's layers of disclosure. There's things I'll share with the church, and there's things that my wife will only know. Right. And so having those layers, but having those people that are close to us that we can trust as friends, and having counselors, and there's things that counselors, I mean, they will lose their license if they go out and share about you, right? So there's an added layer of safety that's there. So finding those safe places of safety, but also encouraging. Awareness begets awareness. So encouraging others to become aware and being honest.
So, man, we're running out of time.
Oh no, I'm so sorry.
No. I love this conversation because I think we're talking about real issues. And I both have been in pastoral ministry, been leaders for a number of years. We've seen a lot of this. One of the things I want to hit, and part of it is because of your title, how do we integrate our faith in everyday life? It's very easy for us as pastors. We live it.
It's true.
But for a leader in a church, an elder, a deacon, a deaconess, a leader in the local church who's a plumber, who's an office worker, whatever it is, how do they integrate faith into their life?
This is one of the marks that we miss as a church. Just before I got here, I had a former student who texted me. It's like, hey, I'm getting ready to do my first Bible study for baptism. Congratulations. He says, what should I do? I said, well, listen here. Yes, you can choose one of those booklet sets that you can do. I was like, but above all things, teach them what it means to have a relationship with Jesus and teach them what it means to have a devotional life. And by the way, that's different for all of us. My devotional life is different than yours, Tom. And that's okay because my marriage is different. My parenting style is different, but it's real and it's continuing to grow. And I think when we develop that spirituality in the church and out of the church should look the same, then we start getting this idea and the realization that if Christ is going to be at the forefront of my life, well, then I need to share him in different ways. And maybe it's not going to be like, hey, lunchtime, Bible studies in my car, right?
Sure.
It's not going to be that. But there should be this element of people recognize there's something different about you. There's this peace, this joy, this love that's different about you because you spend time daily with the Savior. And that is faith integration with life.
So everywhere we go, our faith permeates.
Absolutely.
And I think some of the you hit the nail on the head because I think we as Adventists, even though we believe in the whole being, that's really, we sometimes live compartmentalized.
We absolutely do.
This is what I do at work. Now at 5 o'clock, I'm done with work. Then I can put on a different outfit. Now I'm
putting
on
my elder hat.
Yes, exactly. And we've compartmentalized and we've really lost, I think, the power of the gospel in not living out that we're holistic beings.
Yeah.
And who I am at work is the same as who I am at home, and who I am at home is who I am at the church. We've compartmentalized so that, okay, now I'm an elder, now I have to act a certain way and be a certain way.
Yeah.
But what freedom it might be.
Yeah.
If we live that out every day, like you were talking about.
And I don't want anyone listening to this to feel the guilt and like I'm not pulling on it. I'm asking you to look at the disconnects in your life and asking, why are they there? Why am I pretending to be at church, or am I pretending at work to not be? And what can I do to bridge those gaps to be the same behind closed doors as I am on the stage or in the spotlight?
Because really, and going back to what you said earlier about Jesus, that's what Jesus was the same.
He was the same. He was the same.
And I think so often we struggle with the mask. And that's a whole different, oh my goodness, that's a whole different conversation.
Close that can of worms, please.
Yeah. The reality is, though, that idea that who Christ has created me to be and what he's done in my life is going to permeate everything.
You know, if we, And I hate to go Sister White on us, but if we could spend a thoughtful hour each day in contemplation of Christ, there's so much more to that than I realized. I used to think that was like, oh, I need to think about Christ so I can be perfect like him. But no, I need to think about Christ so I can see his love, his compassion. I can see how he was, and I can allow his life to be lived out in me. And it's not something that's going to happen overnight, but it's something that I ascribe to because I love it. I love him. I want to spend time with him. I want people to spend time with him by recognizing that he is the author and everything for my life. And when they see that, I want them to ask, and I will share with them what's different about me.
So one of the things that we do with each episode is at the end, before we hit our lightning round, if our listeners forget everything that you said and we talked about, what's the one takeaway that you want to say, this is what I want them to remember about a leader's self-care?
Oh, this is tough. But if I could put it all in one sentence, know yourself and know what care means for you and apply it often.
I love that. I love that. Know yourself. Say it again. I want to make sure you get it, because you just said it 5 seconds ago.
And I might say it differently, but I'll say it the same gist. Know yourself. So awareness of self. Know what the definition of care is for you as well. Now apply that to self. And then go ahead and try to live that out consistently.
I love that.
Yeah.
Man. Like I said, we could be here for hours.
We could. We really could.
But I want to get to our lightning round. So these are questions, just kind of spur of the moment, just come boom, what's boom, the mind. That's right. All right, number one, beach or mountains?
Beach.
Favorite beach?
That would have to be the beach in Tampa. I don't even know what it's called. I just was there recently. The water is warm. I like it.
And clean, too.
Yes, and clean.
Most used app on your phone?
Most used app on my phone, I would say, oh, man, this is hard. Okay, let's be honest. It's probably going to be Instagram.
Okay.
I send a lot of memes to friends, and we send them back and forth. The second one that I probably use would probably be the eSword app.
Okay.
I know I have logos on there, too, but I have eSword. So.
All right.
Just be honest.
Favorite hobby outside of ministry?
I love lifting and running.
You had, just as an aside, you had, was it last year or 2 years ago, kind of a contest with one of our other pastors.
Yes.
To run, miles and miles and miles. And when I heard about it, I'm like, okay, I'm glad I'm not Buster's friend like that.
So this pastoral friend, he challenged me. He's like, hey, let's run 400 miles before the end of the year. I'm like, it's October already. He said, exactly. And we both did it. No, so it was great.
One thing on your bucket list.
On my bucket list, I want to go to Italy. I want to visit Italy. Why? My wife and I both said, man, it looks nice. We've heard stories. Want to have authentic pizza there. It's going
to
happen.
I figured the food had something to do with it.
Yes, it does.
All right. If you could have a superpower, what would it be?
Ooh. I would love the ability to see the root issue in people.
Oh, man, you're going ethereal.
Yes.
Man. Wow.
To see the root issue in people and help them to see it. I would love that.
Wow.
Yeah. See through, man, right?
See through that.
Okay, maybe we can work on the name. Sorry about that, guys.
And then lastly, best piece of advice you've ever received?
Ooh. Best piece of advice I ever received. I would have to say it comes from a pastoral friend that is a mentor, and it's actually dealing with this. He said, when are you going to stop hiding and start living authentically?
Oh, wow.
Stop hiding, live authentically.
That's a good piece of advice.
Yes. Yes.
Challenging piece of advice.
It was, and it is.
Wow.
Yeah.
Buster, thank you for coming on. This has been an awesome conversation. And thank you for the work that you do with Advent Health. I know the number of people that are ministered to through Adventist hospitals here in North Texas, but literally around the world.
Yes, sir.
I know they're making a difference, so thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you for listening to another episode of Leadership 360. Please subscribe. They drop the episodes drop the third Thursday of every month. You can find it on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple, or wherever you find your podcasts. Our videos are uploaded to our YouTube channel on the Texas Adventist channel. So we just appreciate you listening and look forward to seeing you, spending some time with you next month as we continue growing into the leaders God has called us to be. We'll see you next month.
Leadership 360 is a Texas Conference of Seventh-day Adventist production. Our executive producers are Ken Dixon and Dr. Tom Grove. Our producers are Ever Sorto and Tammy Townsend. Our sound engineer is Aaron Metter, and video editor is Tammy Townsend. New episodes of Leadership 360 are released on the third Thursday of every month, so be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. You can find the video version of this podcast on the Texas Conference YouTube. Thanks for listening.